Welcome to another Kyuk Audio Life in Bali podcast. I'm DC Puba of Kyuk Audio and Kyuk Archives, coming to you from Sleepy Sonora with Dog at Bandita, Feline Kuchita, and dear lovely Katrinka. I pray that you and yours are safe and comfortable and free from any economic distress, able to get out and do whatever you want within the limits of the universal precept of do as little harm as possible. This is going to be, unless I just lose control and can't stop, a mini podcast or a middling podcast. I'm just going to tell you, I'm not going to read a vignette from Zinner's right here, right now. And I'm not going to have a guest on for Life in Bali. And so I just thought I would get that one ready for tomorrow night. I just don't have time to do it today. And it's pretty interesting. It's with Pak Murtada. Pak's like Mr. here. And Murtada is a meditation teacher and a healer. But like I bring up with him, I say, well, his type of healing is really to teach people how to heal themselves. And he's really, really a excellent teacher and has a wonderful group here called Bali Usada. So, I don't know, I talked to him for, hour and 20 minutes today or something. And I'll get that ready to go up tomorrow. And I wrote an article on him, too, after I did a retreat with him. And I think after doing the part with him as the guest, I'll read that article. So I think I can get that ready tomorrow, right? I was going to get it ready tonight, but then I had another appointment to talk to Eric Storley, who was an early Shunryu Suzuki student, came to Zen Center in 1964, and then later was with Katagiri and came from Minneapolis with some of our other fine Zennies, Laurie Palmer, Bob Halpern. Well, that's interesting. He talked about Bob Halpern, but never mentioned they were both from Minneapolis. Huh. I wonder if he didn't know it. Or maybe just didn't mention it. Reb Anderson's, he didn't mention that either. If I was doing one for Fort Worth and there were all these other people from Fort Worth, I'd be mentioning, hey, they're from Fort Worth. But you know what? There were a lot of people at Zen Center from Minneapolis, from Minnesota. I think I told the woman doing an article for Time magazine that was like in 67 or 68 on Tassajara. I think I told her that we have so many students from Texas, Minnesota, and New York. And I think in the Time magazine it came out that most of the students are from Texas, Minnesota, or New York. Actually, that Time magazine article, I mean, she was a very nice woman, and she was upset with what they came out with. She said it went, I swear she said that, she said it went through 45 editors. That's impossible. Maybe she was just using hyperbole. So Eric and I talked for 3.5 hours, starting at 8 o'clock tonight. So, you know, I was going to get the podcast with Murtada already, but that's too much. In my earlier days this year, and in fact, until recently, I just would have stayed up till 3 a.m. or 5 a.m. getting it ready. I've done that a lot. And actually, until the prior Saturday, just a few days ago, I had not veered off the schedule of having a guest, a Zen-type guest, you know, somebody involved with Shunryu Suzuki or at least Zen or something like that. Almost every one of them was somebody who studied with Suzuki Roshi. On Saturday, Life in Bali on Thursday, reading Crooked Cucumber chapter on Tuesday with comments, and then Monday, Wednesday, Friday, mini podcasts, reading a vignette from Zen is Right Here, with few exceptions. That went like clockwork. Well, I want to tell you, it was exhausting, a lot of sleepless nights, and I'm doing other things, you know. I've got two blogs I try to post on every day, and I pretty much do. I haven't done that yet today. I'll zip something out. You know, I do a Shunya Suzuki lecture excerpt on Cuke What's New blog. And I usually almost always put something else, you know, Zen-wise on that one. And then on the Cuke Nonsense blog, just whatever I want, you know. So I want to do that before I get to sleep. I want to do this before I get to sleep. All right, so why didn't I put one up last? So I'm missing Life in Bali this Thursday. I think that's a first since I started doing it back in March or something. And I was posting, you know, regularly since it first started. But at first it was once a week, and then it went to six days a week. So Saturday, the prior Saturday, was the first time I missed that. So why? Well, first, Eric Storley and I stood him up. I got the time wrong, so I didn't call him when I should, and then he couldn't do it. And then he could do it, but then I couldn't do it when he could, and then he was going out of town for the weekend, so we had to postpone that until today. I did an hour and a half with Meg Galler. It was great. But then she got hold of me and said, well, she didn't feel comfortable with all of it, and she'd like to redo it or think about it and prepare. And, you know, she's a Buddhist teacher now, so didn't want to stray from the path. And then I did a couple of hours with Paul Lee, the Protestant theologian, very old, dear, close friend of Richard Baker's, early, good friend of Zen Center's, helping us out in early Tassajara. Gave a talk on the first year at Tassajara, the first summer, gave a talk to students, met with students, and talked about his take on Christianity. He studied with Tillich at Harvard, and Paul Tillich, the great theologian. He called him the Einstein of theologians, or something like that. The Einstein of, I don't know if he said theologians or what. And he studied with Eric Erickson and many great, and he's a great guy. He started a big homeless center in Santa Cruz, was a university professor there. He's the one who brought Alan Chadwick to Zen Center, who started the Green Gulch Garden. Anyway, I did a couple hours with Paul, and he's got a marvelous website, ecotopia.org or com. I think ecotopia.org, one of them. And I just felt like it didn't do him justice. I went over the whole thing and got it ready to go up. I felt like, not good enough. And I got to give him a little more time and talk to him some more. And also, he's got so many great things he's written on his website that I felt like just the way, and it was my fault. I didn't guide him right in talking to let him express certain things. You know, one thing is, I've known him a long time, and I got a little too excited and talked too much. So there I've got that one. I've got maybe 3 hours with Paul Disco that I want to complete. So I've got a lot of stuff in the works. I started thinking, I don't want to get too exhausted. I've always driven myself, but you know, I think it's time to change it, throw in a change, and just do it. Put up a mini podcast, and put up the Life in Bali podcast when it's ready. Put up the phone guest with the Zen people or. You know, that one that goes up on Saturday. You know, try to get it on Saturday. Try to get the Life in Bali on Thursday, but just do it when it's ready and don't sweat it. I'm not reading Crooked Cucumber anymore. I'm finished with that. We're working going over it. Bill Redigan is kindly evaluating, looking for glitches in the audio and the revised text, going over them little by little. I've got to go where he just sent me chapter 13. I've got to look for that. And I got to get chapter 12 ready to send him. And working on a new book, Tassajara Stories, which I think it'll never be a book. It's just something I say is going to be a book, you know. Tassajara Stories, The Early Years with Shonyo Suzuki. Now I'm reading an excerpt from it every Tuesday. And that's easy to do because they're not long. And it's great. I'm so happy to do that. Read it. It's a work in progress. It's not perfect. Makes me think about it. It's a way to try to force myself to finish the book or to come to some conclusion with it. I like to move on. I like to get through things, even if I've been working on them 6 years like that. But not all the time at all, you know, just now and then. Actually, I have a record album. I don't mention it. That is just ready to go up. It's nothing new, but just getting it ready to publish it as a digital thing takes a little time. And it's really, I only have to just look at a few things. And like for a couple of months, I just can't get back to it just to get it up. And it's an old experimental, really wild, crazy experimental, all sampled sounds thing I did in 1985. It came out as a record in 1986 called Music for a Comic Book Video. You can hear all of it and see all the great art that was done for it on diffusermusic.com. Just go down on the homepage. See that? Anyway, lots happening, and I can't keep up with it. I've got emails started. I can't even answer somebody, but I can. I will keep up with it. Here's another thing that happened this week. This was hospital week. Now, hospital is just going to the doctor, right? In most of Asia, that's true. In America, we say, I'm going to the doctor. Here, you say, I'm going to the hospital. That was true in Japan. And the hospital I go to, it's like Kaiser, and if you live on the west coast of America, it's got like every type of doctor there, and they're really super efficient. Like, so I hadn't been there in 10 months, and it was time to go back. Now, they specialize in taking COVID-19 patients, so, I like to live dangerously, but actually the COVID-19 people are all in the new wing, which was going to be a cancer hospital, so they're all over there. I don't know what's happening with that. I don't hear any horror stories. It's not overcrowded or anything. In terms of the virus report, I want to get into that. I listened to Farid Zakaria on Bill Maher's Real Time as a guest last Friday. And he's done a book, 10 Points or something for a Post-Pandemic World or something. I don't know what it's called, but that was sort of the idea. And one thing that he and Mara got into is, who's dealing with the pandemic? Well, it's Southeast Asia. And Taiwan, unbelievable, unbelievable. Never had a lockdown, just dealt so skillfully and brilliantly with it. They locked down 1% of their population. When something would happen, they'd pounce on it, you know, and do the contract tracing, and isolate those people. So they've had a handful of deaths. It's amazing. But Southeast Asia in general has done well. And, of course, Bill Maher, being really into healthy food, pointed out, well, they're not overweight. You know, they eat well. A lot of junk food here in Asia, too. There's a lot of diabetes and stuff from people eating junk food and not eating well. But I'd say overall, he's right. Anyway, I think I figured out that, Indonesia is doing the worst of any Southeast Asian country, and I live in Indonesia. However, Bali is doing maybe the best of any place in Indonesia. So college got up here at 1/80th of the American population, and we're doing about 8 times better. And we've got a semi-lock. I don't know. We're not on a lockdown now. We went, Katrinka and I went to a restaurant last night, an Italian restaurant that we could walk to, 20-minute walk. She walks fast, man. Got to keep up with her. She's so, that's her religion. Well, she also meditates and does yoga and helps people with alcohol, drug problems. But man, does she walk. And so anyway, we walked over there. We had dinner. We had, I had some tea, fantastic Italian food, and listened to really, really good jazz live. And I knew some of the people playing, say hello. That was great. So, but it was pretty, you know, so many places are closed. You know, this place is, it's just totally for tourists. And we live in an area that specializes in tourism and foreigners. So, you know, walking back home, a lot of it was like in the dark and semi-dark. Incidentally, we don't worry at all walking in the dark here at night. Katrinka will walk home by herself in the dark down streets at night. Low crime rate here. And a low crime rate for Bali, where we live. Not zero. Maybe not as low as, it's not as low as Japan, but pretty good. Anyway. And today I went I have a problem with my iPhone. My iPhone's so old. It's like 8, 9 years old. And it just died. And then I couldn't charge it. I couldn't start it. And it's, you know, an important part of my life. I can't live without my iPhone. Are you kidding? And so I took it to the Mac Dawada, which there's always 3 guys there working on Macs and iPhones. And it's not very far away, but I have to call Neom on it, drive me over. But, you know, 10-minute drive. And so they said there's nothing wrong with it. Oh, God. So it's got an intermittent problem, right? I give up. So I want to get a new iPhone. And I go, oh, my God, they're expensive. They said, get an 8. 8s are very reliable. We never see 8s in here. They don't go bad. So I start looking into it, you know? And then, so I call my tech guy, Untung, and he goes, well, the only 8 I can find is 11 million, which is like $770. Good Lord. But he says, look, the SE, which is a new type, you get a small one, and I want a small one. You get it for $8.5 million. So that's about, you know, $600 or something. My touchpad isn't working. I have to use a mouse on my laptop. And you know, that kind of gives me a little, hurts my wrist a little, like I'm almost getting carpal tunnel and I have to do a few exercises. And I really want my touchpad. It keeps going bad on my Asus. I had that problem with my last Asus too. Untung wants me to get a new touchpad, new keyboard, right? 800,000, that's not so bad. It's $56, right? I took it to Coco down at Remo, which is 3 stories of tech stuff. Software, selling, people who sell software, sell hardware, and fix hardware. And so Coco at Flash Computer, he said, you don't need a new one here, I'll fix it. And he fixed it, right? Cost me $400,000. Month later, it goes bad. So anyway, that one cost me $100,000. All right, I'm already at $500,000 and I don't have a new one. He said, well, you could get a new one and you might still have the same problem. Oh, God. So I live with, you know, a laptop with no touchpad just because I don't want to spend the time going back down there. It's like a 30-minute ride there. I'm busy doing things. So I wait until I'm ready for a break. And I love to be with Nyoman, you know. I call him my Indonesian teacher. And so we go down there and We went, you know, I called Coco yesterday, and he said he'd be there at noon. And I go there at noon. He's not there. His assistant's there. I called Coco. He said, oh, sorry, I'm sick. But then, so I start talking to them about that. His assistant looks at it, and he can get it sort of working intermittently. No, no, it's not good enough. And he said, well, I could just get a new touchpad. And he wants me to wait till Coco's there. So I got to go back again, but I'm not. I got to wait till I want a break, and I'm happy to go out with Neoman and ride around, do a little shopping and do that. You know, it's nice to get out sometimes. And mainly to get out, I like to walk somewhere, but sometimes you got to go shopping some places. Anyway, so I start talking about, well, where can I get another iPhone? You know, you can get other types of smartphones, but there's reasons why I want an iPhone. And so, you know, the guys at the Mac Dawada place told me, Dawada is just like a very Balinese word. I can't remember what it means. A lot of things are Dawada. they told me, don't get a second hand one, get a new one, you know? And you just know you're going to have a good guarantee. You're not going to have any surprises. And if you do, they'll fix it. So Untung was coming up with like 17 million, you know, extremely expensive ones. But he had this SE for 8.5 million. That's, he said, a rather new model. That's what he recommended. So I have Mac Dawada gave me a place to go to. The guys at Remo gave me a place to go to. They were all pretty near where Remo is. As we ran out of the corner, but there's this, you know, super big, spanking, brand new stuff place. You know, it's got an Apple store. It's got an Asus store. It's got all that stuff. And I know it's going to be more. They're not going to have anything for me. But I'm going to look. Well, of course, it's not true. They have the SE for $8.5 million. The thing is that Untung, in the specs he sent me, and I think he just copied it out of something, you know, like Tokopedia, sort of like a local Amazon. It said second on it. And the word seconds here, they use seconds to mean used, secondhand. So I said, well, I called him up. Right there, the salesman, they're trying to sell it to me, and I'm looking at different ones. I said, look, they've got an 8 for $8.5 million. You know, you said the 11 million special, they've got an 8 for $8.5 million. But I said, no, they had an 8 for $8 million. I said, but right next to it, they have this SE for $8.5 million, and they say it's new. And Untung goes, do not buy from them. You're buying from me. I go, yeah, I'll buy from you. He said, I'll get it for you for the SE for $8 million. I went, but yours is secondhand. It says second. No, that's second generation. I go, oh, he's Chinese, Indonesian. And Indonesians are always polite, but Chinese, they can be more direct, right? I go, oh, okay. So we got a deal. I'm going to get a new iPhone. I can't afford it. I'm going to have to beg more donations to be able to do that. But really, it's all toward the cause. So anyway, that took hours doing all that. And I have to go by the bank, take all this money out of the ATM. Which is, let me tell you, if you ever do any traveling, that's the way to get money. Don't use traveler's checks. Don't ever do wire transfer, any of that. ATM. And you can get a card that doesn't charge you anything and a bank that doesn't charge you anything. I pay nothing. Well, if you're in Thailand, you're going to pay. It depends on which country you're in. Thailand, unless you know, like you're in Bangkok, you know one of the 5 ATMs or banks there. Now, this is, I haven't been there in almost 7 years. This is the way it was. You pay, when you take money out, you pay, you know, a few dollars or something every time. And I can remember in India paying $5. So what you want to do then is take as much out as you can. And then you don't want to travel with, you know, it'll just be a few hundred dollars. All right. But anyway, and then I told Untung also, I want a really good headset and mic to use with my laptop when I'm not in my studio. I might want to edit a little something, add a little something, or even do an interview with it. And, you know, I just have these cheap little earbuds I put in my ear. I have used for a couple of interviews, and it's inferior. So that's, I have, you know, I'm looking into that. He wants me to get a Bluetooth wireless one. Okay, that'll probably be another $100. All right, now I'm going to tell you about the hospital. Hospital, so it had been a while. So I went there, since I wanted to see three different doctors, cardiologist, urologist, and dermatologist. You know, usually if I'm going to see one doctor, I call them at like 8 in the morning and ask if they're there that day. And then I find out, are they in surgery or anything? So they're not going to be available till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I find out that stuff. But since it was three doctors, I just walked over there. And it's about a 20-minute walk from here. The newest hospital in Bali. Very efficient, beautiful, new. Good, well-trained doctors. All right. So only the dermatologist. Well, actually, they said the heart doctor, too, the cardiologist. But so I go to the dermatologist and I say, I've got this, you know, I have her look at all my little marks as you get older, you know, the little moles mainly they are. I don't have any warts right now. If I get a wart, you know what I do? I just put, and this will work on some different types of skin things. I just put oil on it. Just keep putting oil on it. It'll go away. I swear. It always works. Just keep putting oil, any type of oil. You know, somebody will tell you, hey, you got to put tea tree oil on it. You can put crankcase oil on it, I bet. I just put something from the kitchen. Just keep putting it on, it goes away. Now, so she looked at all them. I mean, like with a magnifying glass with a light, looked at everyone. And she said, no, they're all good. Do you want me to burn any of them off? I said, no. Thank you. And I said, all right, but I've got this cyst on my face. And it's not very visible. It's just a little bump, but it bothers me. And can you deal with that? She says, yeah. She said, when? I said, how about right now? She said, but of course, this super efficient hospital, you know, she's got my entire history before her in a book. Every doctor I go to, every visit she's got, she starts looking. She says, I want permission from your cardiologist. I see you're going to see him next. They call the cardiologist. The last person he's with is taking too long. He's going to be close. Can't see you today. He can see you Tuesday. So come back here Tuesday. And after the cardiologist, actually, it's not a he. It's a she now. I thought it was a he then, but my he was replaced by a young Balinese woman. And so Tuesday I come back, and all three doctors are there. But I've already know that the cardiologist and the dermatologist are going to be there. So, you know, here's what happens when I go in. So I walk up the steps, and first they take my temperature, right, with this little gun. And then we pretend they're shooting me and I fall down, right? Really, literally, for fun. And, oh, I have to wash my hands before I go in. Incidentally, both those things also happened at Remo, the tech place. And everybody here wears masks. If you've listened to Life in Bali stuff, you've heard me say that before. Everybody wears masks. We don't have people not wearing masks because they want personal freedom or anything. I mean, actually, they do if they want, and they're not in public and do what they want. They're easygoing. but they're out in public. And they don't. It's a cooperative. We're cooperative. And so anyway, then I go inside, and I go over to the right, and there's a thing sort of like a vending machine. But it's not a vending machine. It's, and then there's a desk near it. And now all the counters, all the desks, they're all enclosed in glass now. They've completely redone the whole, and there's tons of them. It's a big place. It's all in glass, and there's, you know. And so I go up, and I put my card, my hospital card, Well, the woman comes out and I hand it to her because she wants to help me. She doesn't know if I know anything. And I tell her, urology. You know, I just give them one doctor's name. They put it in, they punch urology. And then she asks, how are you going to pay? And I say, with a credit card. And she, and a thing comes out, a, you know, piece of paper. She hands it to me. And I go over to window four. And I tell them, look, I want to see three doctors. And so we arrange. And so she figures out what order is best to see them in. And she prints out this stuff. I get these little stickers. And a lot of times they put one on my hand, on the back of my hand. They haven't been doing that recently. So then I go up to urology. And I wait a while. I have to wait 30 minutes. And so I walk. I don't sit there. I walk around the hospital. And then I sit there when I think I'm getting close and they bring me in. And it's he's Chinese, Indonesian doctor. and he's got like the type of mask on that's like a gas mask. He's the only person I've seen. Like I can't see or understand a word he's saying. It's like, I just laugh and say, I'm sorry, I can't understand you. So he takes it off, puts on a regular mask. And I was seeing the urologist because I had a hernia operation, and after the operation, then the hernia eventually came back. Actually, it came back better, more stable, is what I say. And it's not really bothering me. I can live with it. And but the doctor, the digestive doctor, had sent me originally to the urologist because he said, anyway, you don't want another operation until you find out why it came back. And there's like four basic types of causes. And the first one you want to look at is it a swollen prostate? And I said, well, I do have a swollen prostate, somewhat swollen. You know, it wasn't causing any great concern for anybody. You know, they saw it in the one of the ultrasounds or something they did. And so I went to the urologist, and he put me on. He said, your prostate is not big enough to warrant surgery. Just putting me on some pills, right? One in the morning, one, and I don't feel anything. But hey, one of those medicines has an interesting side effect. And I'm very glad I learned about this. There was a show on like Netflix or Amazon Prime or Hulu. No, it wouldn't have been on Hulu. Netflix, I think, with Mike Douglas as an acting coach, you know, like a 70-year-old or 65-year-old acting coach. And Alan Alda? Is that who the other older guy was who's his friend? No, maybe not. Oh, God, I forget the names. Anyway, it's older guys. And it was a good show. But anyway, and it deals with, like, older people's problems. So Kirk Douglas goes, Danny DeVito's his doctor, which is really funny, right? And he goes to him, and he's got prostate cancer. But Danny DeVito, and of course, has to tell him everything in torturous, humorous ways, says, well, the type you've got, it's so slow, you're going to die before it would kill you anyway, so don't worry about it. He said, but we want to give you some things to deal with it or whatever. And he said, this pill right here, this is going to make your semen shoot back in. It's not going to shoot out. Something like that. And went, well, what happens to it or something? Yeah, your body eats it or something. So I'm glad I saw that in that show. Because my doctor didn't tell me that. He might think that a 75-year-old man married to a 73-year-old woman, well, I was 74 at the time and she was 72, that we wouldn't encounter that sort of thing. But we did, but I knew about it. But I didn't know that I was taking the drug that would do it. But when it happened, I went, oh, wow, this is the same thing that Mike Douglas was taking in that show. So anyway, so he told me to come back in 6 months. So that was 10 months ago when I finally got to him. You know, actually because of the COVID and because everything was all right. And I just kept, you know, I can buy all the medicine without a prescription. I just take the box from the prior one and buy it. And I can get Viagra without a prescription too. I noticed I was in Singapore, couldn't get it without a prescription there, and in Malaysia, couldn't get it without a prescription there. I said, why? What purpose is that? It's not a harmful drug or anything. I mean, it's pointless. Anyway, so I went back, and he said, you know, he asked me, basically what the urologist does, it asks me how my pee is. How is it to pee? Are you dribbling? And that sort of thing. And I say, no, it's pretty good. You know, not as good as when I was young, but it's pretty good. No complaints. I'm not peeing down my leg or getting on my pants. Pardon me for talking about that. So he said, all right, well, I want you to take an ultrasound. And let's see. An ultrasound, you know, they just put something on top of your chest and stomach and all that and look in there. And I went, all right, I'd done that before. And so he said, go schedule it, do it on Thursday. Because obviously he's telling me he's going to be here Thursday, which is today. So then I leave him, and his assistant goes with me just around the corner to the heart doctor and tells me sit and wait and delivers the little book with my history there to the heart doctor and comes back. Oh, there's some other people waiting. But no, I was next. I went in and bang, Dr. Krishna's not there. It's a woman. I said, you're a doctor? She says, yeah. I said, what happened to Krishna? Oh, he moved. He moved on. They work in different hospitals. Even the ones that work there will go work. The doctors there tend to work in the mornings. Not always, but and then they go work in other hospitals later and stuff like that. That's very normal. And the one I go to, Bali Usada, it's a public hospital. They go work in a private one that charges more. That is not better. Definitely not better. I don't see a lot of foreigners when I go there. It's very nice and modern and efficient. I feel like I'm in Singapore when I'm there. So anyway, I see the heart doctor, I talk to her, and I tell her, look, I've been getting some pain in my chest when I walk, you know, and I'm trying to keep up with my wife, we're walking fast. And look, and I'll feel a little aching in my jaw. That's like heart, right? I mean, I used to have angina, I had an angioplasty 18 years ago. And it really hadn't bothered me much, but every once in a while, something like that. But it's a little more this time. And I, you know, basically I can walk and nothing happens. And I swim, I'll swim in the ocean. But I've noticed that. So I think maybe I'm getting a little blockage or something. So she said, well, let me examine you. What, examine me here? No, I want an EKG. She said, oh, all right. So, you know, she just wanted me to lie down and examine me what? And so I go in and I get an EKG. And she says, your heart is very strong and you don't have any blockage. I said, well, what's that bothering me sometimes when I walk? She said, I don't know, your lungs, your muscles. So anyway, that was good to hear. So then I went to the dermatologist and got the cyst removed. And then I went and paid. And I got medicine. The medicine's the most expensive thing. That I got 1 month of a couple of medicines, and the others they didn't have, so I'd have to go to a pharmacy, which is a little more expensive than getting in the hospital. And you can't go just buy in the hospital pharmacy. You've got to have a prescription for a doctor there. It's not like a public pharmacy. So I went, all right. All right, now that total thing, right? Everything I just described, the medicine was maybe half of it, right? It was like $112. That's including the EKG, the removing the cyst, seeing the three doctors. But even though it's just $112, we live here because that's what we can afford. So even $112, I go, oh, well, there goes $112. So then I come back today, Thursday. I get there at 9. And also, I know from my last, they call it USG, ultrasound graphic, something like that. Ultrasonographic. I know that they want me to have a full bladder because the last time I didn't have a full bladder, they said, oh, you can't come in here with that. Well, nobody told me. So I was having to drink all this water and wait. And like it took me about an hour to have a full bladder or 45 minutes or something. So this time I drank a ton of water, walked over there, and then I bring a big, water bottle of stainless steel, with the top. We don't buy plastic bottles or anything. Look, even if you try as hard as you can not to have plastic, you're going to have tons of plastic in your life. And it's all hopeless. But anyway, we do our best. So then I drink that whole thing. It's like, and then I watch all these, all these other people go in there. And I start going, oh my God, I've really got to pee. It was the opposite of the time before. And, I told the receptionist or whatever in this part of the hospital, I say, God, I've really got to pee. I don't know if I can wait. And she said, well, come here. So she just had me sit somewhere a little closer and went in and told him. That didn't really help. I still had to wait my turn. Oh, boy. I hadn't had to pee that bad. It reminded me being like in school or if with your parents in the car saying, I got to pee. No, wait, we're going to get there in a while. So I lie there and, all I have to do is unbutton my shirt and open it. And they put a little, stuff on it and the woman starts reading me, we've got all these masks on and stuff and they got shields. And then when they do my side, I'm extremely ticklish. I've always been, it's worse than ticklish. I get an electric shock. Really, really. But I won't go into that now. But it's sort of fun when she would turn it over there. I've got very sensitive skin, too, which has its good side in certain activities. Anyway, she read it. And then she said, you have a cyst on your kidney. I go, that's it. All right. Do I care where my ashes are spread? No, I really don't. I wrote a thing when I was in high school. Really, in high school, I wrote a thing about how I wanted my ashes to be flushed down a toilet. Rebel, huh? And I think, well, that's, I'm already, do I want to plan my funeral? No. People do that. No. Do I care about any of that? No. I just leave it up. I like Bob Hope's answer. Was it Bob Hope? I think it was Bob Hope. It gets attributed to Groucho Marx, but I think it was Bob Hope whose wife asked him what sort of funeral he wanted, this and that. He said, surprise me. It could have been Groucho Marx. Anyway, I'm thinking that. And then finally they say, all right, it's over. You can go pee. Oh, God, was that a great pee. So then I've got an hour before the results are given to me. Not told to me. She already told me. She asked me, what's their problem? Why are you here? And I said, they want to see if my prostate's gotten smaller. So she could specialize a little on that area. So I got an hour and I think, oh boy, I can eat now. Because you're not supposed to eat, you know, at least an hour before you come and stuff. And so it had been several hours, and all I'd had was one little mighty mite, we call them. Make them here, absolutely great. Nuts and dried fruit and a little wheat and, oh, so good. The one I make, Katrinka makes her own. I make it without any sweetening except just the dried fruit. All right, I have one of those in my tea, you know, at like 7 or something. And then, you know, after my morning walking and sitting meditation. And then, you know, when it was time to go over to the hospital, 8:30, I just drank a ton of water and went over there. So I realized, oh, I'm hungry. Oh, and just across the street and down a little is Chennai Roti. Nope. Roti Chennai. Roti is bread. I think, isn't roti used for bread in India? Don't they call it? I'm so used to seeing it here. I don't know. And Chennai, like Chennai in India, where I've spent a little time. And it is. It's like India. I love going there. It's so neat. And they make these like, I love going, but I don't do it a lot because what is it? It's just like a pancake, but it's roti. It's not a sweet thing. And they have all sorts of different types. And I get the cheese egg one with teh tarik. And what is teh tarik? It's just like chai. You know, it's got ginger in it. And but tarik means to pull. Teh is just tea. Yeah. And tarik means to pull. And it's sort of funny when they make it, it's just for show. I don't think it would matter at all. You don't need to do this. They pull it way up in the air. When they mix it, it's milk. It's milk tea, right? And way up in there, so like they're mixing it so that it's pouring back down. Like you were in a bar and they were making some mixed drink. I don't know why it doesn't need it, but that's it. It's teh tarik. And to me, it's like chai. And the shortcoming of it is when I would get chai in India, they're making it, I could get it without sugar, which they thought was strange. But this one already has sugar with the milk. I've actually brought my own milk there for them. But it's not too much sugar. It's not like being made with sweet condensed milk. I don't know what they're making with these little cans they have. But anyway, I love it. So I get that and I eat that and I get a second chai, which I almost never do, but I was just being indulgent and had a little more time. But incidentally, to get there, I've got to cross the bypass, which is 2 lanes on each side. And it's a fast street. Fast here, meaning maybe they're going 45. And, you know, they're sort of coming in waves. And so... And there's not a legal crossing there, but there is an opening. There's an island that's about 2 feet tall, even 2.5 feet tall. And there's an opening there where cars can turn around, except this one has a chain across it, so they can't use it. It's used for, you know, ceremonies or stuff. I don't know what. So anyway, I wait till the... So there's room, and I'm sure, and it's still a little scary because, you know, what if I misjudge? And you also got to look the other direction because some motorcycle can be driving up the wrong way, just going on the edge. Always look both ways. In fact, it's always a good idea anywhere. And look both ways twice. That's really important. I'll tell you, you can miss a motorcycle. You can look one way, and a motorcycle, you can miss it. That's barreling toward you. Look, both ways twice. You know, all right, and I go to the center. I made it. And then wait, say, go to the other side. And there was an earlier life in Bali where I went too fast and I smashed my foot against the curb there and it was all covered in blood and everything. But that did not happen this time. And I got to the other side and I go get that. And then I have to do it. I have to beat it to go back. And I get my results. I give them to the urologist. He looks at it. He says, good, it shrunk. I said, do I have to keep taking the medicine? He said, yeah, you should keep taking the medicine because it's working. I said, that's good because I just bought 3 months of it and it's expensive. So Anyway, and then he lectures me on how China and the United States are going to get into a war after the election, and how COVID-19 was created in a laboratory in Wuhan, and all this stuff. And I just wait for him to stop talking and thank him very much. And then I go pay. And while I'm waiting to pay, I call Neomont because I don't want to walk home. I want to go to Remo and deal with my computer problem and everything. So that's my hospital. That's my tech stuff. Oh, incidentally, all right, let me tell you what today cost. The USG, which we call ultrasound in America. I was surprised how cheap it was. It was like $28. And it's really, everything's very modern. And doctor's visits, they're 100,000 rupiah. That's $7. So I paid about $35 for what happened there today. And that's a great thing about living here. And like I said, but then I went, and after Remo, I got a message from the pharmacy on the way home that this medicine had arrived. And then, my God, I've spent several hundred dollars on medicine. I never did that until about 2 years ago. For the prostate and for my heart, you know. It's a statin for my heart. But anyway, so I figure I spend about $120 a month on medicine. And so I'm buying the iPhone. A lot of things changed, right? I get home and I've just got to start working, right? I've got these two podcasts, interviews to do. And then I'm through. I think I'll just do a quick mini podcast. And look, I have talked for 53 minutes. Is that right? Yeah, 53 minutes. Just telling you pretty much about today. So this is life in Bali. This is what it's like to live in Bali. Hey, yesterday was different. Yesterday I worked till, yesterday I talked to Arnie Kotler. There's another one. I didn't even mention that. Arnie and I had the best conversation. And I called him at 10 in the morning here. That's great. He's in Hawaii. And we're 17 hours, I think we're 18 hours ahead of Hawaii. So it's 10 o'clock here. Oh, God, I can't even remember. And so Arnie and I just had the greatest time talking. So he's going to be on one of my phone chats coming up. So I've got Arnie's ready. And I've got Eric. I've got Paul in the works. Eric's 3.5 hours. I'm going to do Arnie's first. Good Lord. I even forgot about that. So yesterday I talked to Arnie. I get everything ready. I get my blog post ready. And then I go to the beach. And I take our dog to the beach. I hadn't been to the beach in a week, you know. And Katrinka's dealing with some, you know, the sort of thing she deals with. So I walk Bondi down to the beach, and as soon as we get on the alley sort of that leads to the beach, I take her leash, I undo the leash from her collar, and she only wears a collar when she's out, and I can't have her without a leash on the street, because if she sees a cat, she'll run straight for it. And we'll run right in front of a car. She's not car savvy. Other than that, she's pretty much on voice control. Fish. If there's somebody that has a little fish in a pot, you know, a big ceramic pot, she'll just sit and stare at the fish. So anyway, then we go down and we go to Genius, this very nice bamboo place. It's got vegan food. But we're members there. So I give them my laptop, you know, my backpack. And I sit on a sofa. I like to sit with my legs up, give me, I want this, you know, reservation for here. I'm going to go swim. I'll be back within 30 minutes. They know. They're used to me doing that. So then Bonnie and I go down to the water, and I go out and swim. And the water was just perfect. Little plastic on the beach and a lot of organic matter washed up. Little plastic. I looked at it, and I thought, how many pieces of plastic can I see from here? 1,000. But it's not like a mountain of it. They get sometimes over in Kuta and Simonyi, they just get mountains that like February, March. I think it's going down a little. Government's trying to deal with it. God. But the water was good. It was perfect. It was neither warm nor cool. It was just perfect. It was like, I couldn't figure out, do you call this, is it on the warm side? Is it a little bit warm? No. It's like a little bit cool? No. I mean, what do you call it? Tepid? Room temperature? Ocean? No. Because it's, if you go on the other side of the reef, you get out there, you're going to feel cold. It's going to be cold. It's not going to be cold enough where you need a wetsuit or anything. But anyway, and then there's a little bit of a current going to the side. So that's fun going with it. And then coming back, going against it, it's good exercise. Sometimes it's so strong I can't go against it. But it's nothing dangerous or anything, as you know. It's just like a big pool. So I swim, I sit down, I order kalapa muda, young coconut, and incidentally, you cannot go in this place if you don't have a mask on. Once you sit down, you know, all the places to sit are spaced, and there's no walls. There's only walls on one side where the kitchen is. It's all open air, and there's pretty good little breeze coming in. But you gotta have it. You can't go anywhere without a mask. Good Lord. And so I get the kalapa muda and send Katrinka. Now that's young coconut water, right? In the coconut. And my favorite drink, absolute favorite drink. And send Katrinka a WhatsApp. I'm here at Genius. I know she's been busy up to now. And then I get one back from her, OTW, on the way. So we hadn't been there together. In fact, when we were there a week ago, we didn't sit down anywhere. We just went and got in the water and walked and stuff. So that was nice. And I got a lot of work done. I was there several hours. And went home. So that was yesterday. But today was more, oh boy, just business all day. And now I'm getting to sleep late. I'm going to get up and hear the debate tomorrow. And you know, I am not going to go over this at all. I am just going to put it up as is. First, I will run it. I'll run a click removal on it, try to get rid of some of the clicks in my talking, which I like if I say cuke, cuke. Yeah, I can see them. See, I'm looking at the sound waves now. You can see clicks. And it might take most of them out. Click removal. Oh, then I do a noise removal. I go to a blank space, take a sample, and then remove that from the whole thing because I got a little air conditioner going because I'm in a closed room going at a very high temperature. So it's just, I've got to have it or it gets stuffy and hot. And I got a ceiling fan going on the slowest. So it puts a little noise in there. I can eliminate that. And then sometimes you get buzzes. I don't know why. But it's all okay. All right. So after the noise removal, then I run the entire file through a EQ. And I've already got an EQ I use. I do not tinker with it. I've got one I set up. And I went over it with a sound engineer from Los Angeles who I've worked with on music. He thought it was all sounding all right. Who knows? Ricky Sanchez. Thank you, Ricky. Thank you for all your help through the years. And then I run it all through a compressor. And what the compressor does is it takes the highest sounds and pushes them down a little, and the lower sounds pushing my. I don't think it takes. You can set it. It doesn't take the very lowest sounds because you don't want to. You don't want to boost your background noise. I don't know quite how it works, but it works. But what I found is just do it once, because if I do it a bunch of times, it can boost the background noise. Look, so that's it. That's life in Bali. That's what my life's like. Arnie and I compared a little. He said, oh, the snorkeling there must be wonderful and this and that. I said, well, it might be better where you are. Yeah, I said. But anyway, you can hear what we said about that. One other thing I want to say is that I've been doing podcasts since, I think, April 1st, the first one went up. And this is the first one I have not gone over. And if it's me talking, listen to every bit of it. And I used to edit them sort of meticulously. I've been a lot looser recently. But this is the first one where I've just talked, put it down, and I'm going to put it up. And I'm not going to listen to it at all. And no apologies. Okay. Well, let me just say, this has been another episode of Life in Bali. I'm DC Poobah of Cuke Archives, Cuke Audio, coming to you from Sleepy Sanur with Doggett, Bandita, Feline, Kachita, and dear lovely Katrinka. And we're wishing you and yours and all of us a grand awakening.